Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie, and this is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
We're in episode 10.
I'm glad you know what episode we're on.
I keep track.
I'm just like, it's Wuthering Heights.
I don't know. Does it count as episode 10 because of our bonus episode? Or is this
no,
really
I would call this 9.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Off Script,
the podcast where we compare books to movies.
Yeah. We remembered this time.
We did.
It took us nine episodes.
I know. No, it took us 8. Episodes because we do it in the second one.
Oh yeah, we remember that one.
We didn't do it in the first one.
Nope. And then I don't think we did it again.
Nope.
I don't remember. Only 2 episodes have come out since we're recording this, so don't know.
But anyways, let me paint you a picture. We are currently at my mom's friend's house because I'm house sitting, and she has a cat, and I'm allergic to cats, and it all rubbed up on me, so if I sound a little stuffed up...
You know what's hilarious? The last time we were here and you recorded, I'm pretty sure you said the exact same thing.
I think so. That was the 4th Harry Potter.
Yep.
And we are sitting in new locations, so hopefully it's not as echoey as that last one was.
Because that time it was horrible. It was our worst one yet.
Yes. So we realize it's bad, you guys, and we are doing everything.
Trying.
We're trying to. So
without spending a buttload of money
at a studio. Yeah. So
at a studio just for ourselves. Not even at a studio.
Oh, that. Yeah. So that's where we're at.
Woo.
Anyways, that's your picture.
Lovely picture.
Okay. So this week we are going to talk about Wuthering Heights.
Whoa.
We're out of Harry Potter. My goodness. It's weird.
Took forever.
I know.
Way too long.
I'm excited.
Me too. I'm excited to jump into other books.
Yeah, definitely. I know. Since we have finished Harry Potter, we're like knocking these books out in like a week.
Yeah, it's going pretty quick.
I'm pretty proud of us.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I kind of knew I would.
I didn't think I would.
I'm a quick reader. Yeah, I didn't think you would either.
Well, thanks.
I know your life.
I know, but so you guys, I finally jumped on the wireless earpod things. So I don't have an iPhone, so they're not AirPods.
No. So headphones?
Yes. I just bought like $20 ones on Amazon. But you guys, it's like magic. I just listen all the time. I took my kids to... Well, I'll get into this more next book, but I took my kids to the children's museum.
Oh, yeah.
And I just was listening to it the entire time I was there.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, that was like 3 hours of a book right there.
Me, I don't like listening to books. I have to actually physically read the books. So
I do so much better with audiobooks, which, you know, is not great for my mentalness. Like, what am I trying to,
Oh, your educator?
No, like, it's listening doesn't build that muscle,
oh,
like
the
reading does.
Comprehension or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah,
so unfortunately, but you know what, I don't know, I signed up to do a podcast with you guys, so if we want to do it, I gotta do this quick. And
with
I am
you guys.
Enjoying it. Yes, with all of our friends. Okay. All of our peeps.
Okay,
so
yeah awesome. Shall you know me? What I realized,
yeah,
because the next question you're gonna ask is why did we choose this book. Yep. And I realized you're never going to answer that question.
No, I'm not. Well, here, I actually have it right here. Let me read you exactly what I wrote. Why did we pick this book? Because Rafe, aka Voldemort, is the main actor. As for more reasons, ask Bree.
So we've said it before. I'll say it again. I pick the books.
Yeah, we agree. We like contribute ideas to our huge book list.
Yeah, and I feel like I've probably contributed like 90%.
Yes, you have. And then I just kind of let Bree organize them. And mm-hmm. she tells me what to read. So I just go, okay.
That's what's next. Perfect. Wuthering Heights is one of my all-time favorite books. Like, I love it. And honestly, before Allie and I agreed to this podcast, I wanted to reread Wuthering Heights. And of course, right when I was deciding to reread it is when we came up with this idea. And then it was like, oh, cool. I have to read Harry Potter first. That's probably also why it took me forever with Harry Potter.
You would think that would make you go faster because you'd be like, as soon as I'm done with Harry Potter, I can read this book.
That doesn't really do that for me. For me, it's like, I still have to get through this.
Well, yeah. So that's your answer. That's why we did it.
Oh, also, I had never seen the movie.
I know, you guys. So I've never read the book or seen the movie. Bree's never seen the movie. We're getting into things that we haven't seen or read. Yeah. That's like exciting.
Allie says or read, but really that's her.
All me.
I think there's like, I didn't read Misery. I hadn't read Cujo, Carrie. A lot of Stephen King stuff I haven't read. I'm like 50-50 with him, but pretty much everything else I've read.
Yeah. Well, this should be exciting. This will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But now I know why I never watched Wuthering Heights.
We'll get into it. Okay, so the author is Emily Bronte?
Bronte.
Bronte. Oh, Fonza. Director, Peter Kosminski.
Fun one.
Yep. And screenplay writer was Annie Devlin. So there are three options we could have chosen from for this movie. And we chose the 1992 one because Ralph. Rafe. Gosh. Guys, it's spelled Ralph.
It is.
Give me a break. It is. It's in it. So.
How was that choice? I guess we get to that at the end.
I was going to say. But also, the three choices. Did you say that one of them's a TV show?
No, I didn't.
So one of them's a TV show, and I really freaking wish I chose that one.
Oh, no.
But I don't know.
I've never heard of PBS Masterpiece, and I still haven't looked it up because I plan on watching that. Because it stars Tom Hardy, who I love, and he's Heathcliff. And it stars the guy who plays Rick from The Walking Dead, but he's also in, I think his name is Andrew Lincoln. He's in Love Actually. He's the guy with the signs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he plays Edgar.
Oh.
All right, so let's start our comparisons. So, starts off.
Oh, wait, we didn't do our synopsis.
No, we did not.
And we didn't do how long and years and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with the synopsis. We're going out of order, you guys.
I know, wow. You're going synopsis first?
I know. Look, we were so excited to be apart from Harry Potter, and now we're screwing it up already.
That was all Allie, not me.
Okay, synopsis. I was going to let Bree tell it because it's one of her favorite books.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, I had to type in what I was searching for so that I wouldn't forget.
Oh.
Okay, so it's an old book, guys. It's Emily Bronte. It's like Jane Eyre style old.
It's basically, it's a love story, but it's a messed up love story. It's about two kids coming from two different classes, I guess you would say, and falling in love with each other, but because they know it's wrong, they really can't go for each other. And it's kind of their tale of growing up and seeing how that relationship unfolds.
Yes. All right. Good job.
Thanks.
There's a whole lot more in there. We'll get to it. So,
what else would you have put it?
Well, there's like, it's a love triangle.
That's true. It is a love triangle. It's a love triangle.
Yeah.
But I mean, the triangle, the dude's in the same class as her.
Yeah. So let me do the years. So the book came out in December of 1847, and the movie came out August 1992. Hey, it came out when you were born.
Birth month. That's kind of amazing.
That's kind of funny. So that's a 145-year difference, in case y'all needed help with that math. And yeah, I thought that was pretty cool when I saw what big of a difference that was, because we're like Harry Potter, 3 years and stuff like that.
Yeah, anyway, that's true. I think we're going to start getting into that a lot more. Not 100 years,
but yes, but farther than yeah. 2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
Now let's begin.
All right. You want me to take it away?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. All right. This movie frustrates me so much. Do I start with Lockwood or do I start with the narrator? I don't even know. So the book.
I would say go by book and then we'll
tie it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In the book, you follow a character named Lockwood. In the movie, he's in two scenes, one in the beginning and one in the end. So Lockwood, basically, in the book, he needs a place to stay. And Heathcliff is the owner of a place called...
The Grove.
Wuthering Heights. Grange?
Oh, yeah, no, the Grange.
Thrushcross Grange?
I think it is the Grange.
Okay, so he's staying, or he has a place, Thrushcross Grange. Oh my goodness. The Grange. I'm not saying that again. And no one's living there. So he rents it out. So Lockwood is like, cool, I'm going to be your tenant. And he comes to meet him and pay him and be like, hey, I'm your tenant. Plus he's a sociable guy. So he wants to get to know who his landlord is and like have a relationship with him, because also like how I imagine this, because a lot of the words are old, so I'm not 100% sure that what I'm retaining and seeing is what is actually meant. But like, I feel like all that's separating them is like a big hill and maybe like a field.
Yeah. That sounded like they said it was like 4 miles, but that's what I imagined too.
Yeah, like walking distance. Except for I also was like, there were a few times where they're like, you probably shouldn't make that trek. And I'm like, that's not that bad. He's leaving in the middle of the morning. Why don't you want
right? We walk 3 miles on our walk like every Monday evening.
You can't go out there. So he goes to Heathcliff. But then a storm happens, and actually tonight is the night where they tell him not to walk back. But they also are like, but you can't stay here. Basically, I can't even remember who ends up inviting him to stay. Is it young Kathy?
In the book or the movie?
I'm nowhere near the movie right now.
Right, so
the servant Zila. Yeah. That's why I couldn't remember her name, because Zila.
Yes.
But also, this was written in
1847.
How is that a name that was
Zila
in 1847 is what I want to know.
I don't know.
That's unique. But anyway, the servant Zila takes him up to a room so that he can stay, which is then where he sees Catherine's ghost.
Yes.
But we don't know it's Catherine at this point. Basically gets scared, runs home in the storm, so is basically sick, which is a common occurrence throughout this book. I feel like everyone's getting sick left and right.
Oh my gosh, yes. They're sick out over being sad. They get sad and then they get sick. We'll get to that.
Yeah, we will. So then he gets sick and the servant at his house, Nellie, is like taking care of him, and then he asks her about Heathcliff and she's like, well, that's a long story, like there's a lot to this that I need to tell you, but I don't want to bore you. And he's like, I'm sick. Like, nothing better to do than to tell me, basically Princess Bride styling it.
Mm-hmm. Should we now tell how the movie did that first part?
Well,
what do you want? Yeah,
nope.
Okay.
You got a thought.
Okay.
Yeah, so then how the book plays out is
cat, go away.
Guys, the cat is like in my lap. I love kitties, but he's clawing to the blanket. He won't leave.
He's like, I love you. Let me stay.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. You're so pretty.
Come to my lap.
Look,
dude.
Bree loves kitties. No, go away. I love you, but go away.
Anyways, I'm sorry I interrupted your story.
So basically, the book, the narration of the book is
Nellie's story, but Lockwood is telling it to us. It's Lockwood's recantation of the story he's been told.
Whereas in the movie, you're at a very broken down house. You're like, yes. What is up with this house? What's going on? And then a woman walks in.
So, yeah. Okay, so yeah. So the first few chapters basically did not happen. So in the movie. Yeah,
no.
Lockwood, the movie starts off where Lockwood is just kind of coming in from the storm. And he's like, I need a place to stay. I'm your new tenant type of thing. And I can't make it over there in the storm. So can I have a guide or can I have a place to stay? And Heathcliff's like, no to both of those things. And he's like, fine, I'll just sleep on this chair. And it's like he's like super awkwardly trying to sleep.
No, I remember it. Okay. I remember it.
Okay, go.
Because he asks for someone to take him. And his response, instead of just flat out no, was, we'll go with you to hell.
Oh, got it. And so, okay, so then we don't get to see, apparently, this part, I was like, what? Oh, because I didn't tell that. We did an experiment, and I'll let you know end how it goes, that if you see a movie before a book, do you like the movie more? And so I tried that, and we'll see how that goes. So I watched the movie and then I started reading the book. And I was very confused because all of a sudden, Catherine Jr., whatever we call her.
Little Catherine.
Little Catherine is like practicing like witchery and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, what the heck is happening? It was so confusing. And then it's only that one meeting. Whereas Lockwood comes back at least twice. In the book. Yep. And then he is asked, like, he's like, oh, little Catherine is like, okay, you know, this is in the movie. Little Catherine's like, okay, you know, she doesn't say anything. She just is like, brings him to a bedroom. And he's like, but the master doesn't let anyone sleep in here and don't put a candle by the window. And he's just like, okay. But, you know, then what does he do? Put a candle by the window. And then this ghost lady comes in and like attacks him, which we find out is
Catherine.
Big Catherine.
This, I also had a problem with this. In the book, Lockwood never runs out of the room. He just starts screaming in the room when she attacks him. Mm-hmm. And Heathcliff comes in and is like, did you see her? I want to see her. And he's like freaking out. In the movie, he runs out of the room and Heathcliff doesn't like run into the room. Like Heathcliff in the book went into the room, freaked out with him and then kicked him out and locked himself in the room. In the movie, no. Lockwood just freaking leaves.
Yeah. Yep. And so then that was pretty much the last we saw of Lockwood until the end.
Yep.
And then, so then we get to the Grange in the book.
Where he's sick. And then she starts telling him the story.
Yep. And what is her story?
All about Heathcliff and Catherine. There's a ton, guys. And I really only remember the like parts that were different in the movie.
Yeah, that works. Like,
basically, now we're at the Grange. And basically, Nellie is telling her story. And Catherine's dad went on a trip into town. Which also, like, did they ever explain?
Like it was like a...
It was a few days away. A
few days, yeah. They didn't explain in the movie very well. They explained, like, he was supposed to bring him a present because it was a long trip, but they didn't explain how long.
Yeah, but then I also feel like the doctors were in the town, and I feel like they got them pretty quick.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
It was confusing.
The town is apparently far away. And so he's on this trip, and when he comes back, he's like, guys, I brought you something, and the kids are... obsessed with their gift. And he's like, I got you something even better. And here's this kid. Could you imagine?
Right. And it was like, he was described as a gypsy. So he was, at that time, would be not...
essentially homeless.
Yeah. So
not well to do, not well kept.
Yeah. And the mom in the book was not happy too. She was like, we already have our own kids to feed. Now we have another kid. And in the movie, I didn't see her very upset. I didn't even think I saw the mom.
I think she was in the background.
Okay.
We saw the kids.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that they explained that like the toys were crushed or anything. I think it was just no gifts.
Yeah, it was no gifts. It was.
Yeah. It was, here's your new brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Heathcliff, this gypsy kid. And of course, the two kids are like, ew, gross. I don't like him.
See, and they didn't do that very well in the movie either, because right off the bat, Catherine likes him.
Catherine automatically is like, oh, hey.
Which I found shocking when I read the book. I was like, oh, she didn't like him from the beginning? All right.
No. That's why I love this story so much. So then we basically get the story of their bonding and how she doesn't like him at first, but then over time, because he kept having to go to her classes with her and things like that, they were the same age range, because her brother, I almost said her brother Edgar, her brother, not Harrington, not Heathcliff.
Kathy, Harrington is the kid.
Henley. Her brother Henley.
Okay.
Is a few years older, and he doesn't want anything to do with either of them. And so they just, their bond forms, and Heathcliff becomes a cute kid because he's smitten with Kathy.
Yep.
And then, and the movie just goes so quick. In the movie,
it really does. It's like, and the movie takes place when they're already in their like 20s or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Whereas this all happens when they're kids. They go to classes together.
All the love scenes between them in the book are like when they're like 10, I feel like, or like 12.
And when we say love scenes, it's like,
it's not even love scenes. Yeah. Scenes. It's, Catherine basically stood up for him when her brother was being a jerk to him. Essentially, that was their love scene.
Yeah. But in the movie, they were like laying in bed together. It was nothing.
My
like,
note is Heathcliff and Catherine cuddling. In book, they kiss maybe once. I was so mad. And like the two scenes right off the bat with them are them like hardcore. Like, I was like, guys,
you need to finish that thought, because it sounds like hardcore might be something else.
Hardcore cuddling.
Yes. Cuddling. There was no naked scenes. There was no sex scenes in this.
No.
It was all just laying in bed, like heads on chest.
Laying in bed, laying in the crags, like on the rocks.
Oh, yeah. But there was one where
there
were
was
in
that
the,
one. Yeah.
Where like their heads were on, or Catherine's head was on his chest, like they, and everything like that. So it was not anything horrible.
No. But when you've read the book and you're expecting a love story, and when
children.
I say love story, it's like quotations love story, because it's with kids. So it's just their relationship growing so that hopefully they could get together. And then not.
Reading the or watching the movie first, I totally did not imagine. Like, I imagined them as kids when it was mentioned.
Yeah.
But then it kind of went out of my head that, oh, yeah, they're kids at this point. And it went back to them being adults. So
you're like, duh, this is how it's supposed to be.
So when you freaked out, I was like, why is she freaking out? Like, it's like there are way worse movies out there with inappropriateness. And then I realized, oh, I guess if it was kids, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah. It's supposed to be kids.
So I understood that now. Anyways.
So then we're at them meeting the Lintons. When they meet the Lintons,
which are, they're like neighbors who live in the
Grange
right now. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so Heathcliff and Catherine are doing what they like to do best, which is avoiding Henley and avoiding chores and avoiding doing housework and running about everywhere playing together. And they run over to the Grange because they hear that there's new tenants over there. So they're like, I'm going to go and check it out. And so they go and they look and they're watching through the window and they're watching them play. And then they're like loud and the kids look over and see them. And then they get called in. But then because Heathcliff is Mr. Gypsy Heathcliff, they don't want him to stay, but they let Catherine stay. So then Heathcliff comes home in a rage, mad, upset. Why did they let her stay and not me? This does not happen in the movie.
No, it happens very oddly. I mean, it sort of happens, but it happens weird. So apparently in the book too, Catherine, their dogs, the Linton's dogs attacked like her foot. They bit her foot. And which happened in the movie, but the way it happened in the movie was so odd because... Yeah.
She gets injured.
She gets injured, but then they bring her in like she's almost
dead.
She's just like laying there.
Yeah.
It was very odd. And then so they kick Heathcliff out and then they keep her for 5 weeks till she gets better.
That's not why they keep her in the book. In the book, it's just like, hey, you're having fun.
Yeah. And so Heathcliff is now super sour and waiting, and like I think Nellie goes over once and he's like, did she mention me?
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, and
no.
And so he's getting very, very bitter,
jealous.
Yeah. And jealous. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Especially I think this is also when it starts for him, where he's like, there's a divide, I'm the lesser of the two of us.
Yes.
Because Edgar and his family have money.
Okay, so what happens next is now Catherine comes home. And she's very happy and she's like, oh, but where's Heathcliff? You know, I've missed him. And then, but he...
Oh,
oh
no, and, this is super important.
Okay, yes, go.
So her brother Henley in the book has in this time when his sister's gone away, because she's been the one who's been like, we can't treat him like one of the servants. He's our brother. That's what dad wanted.
Because dad died. We missed that part. Dad and mom have both died now.
Yep.
And now,
so it's just the siblings and Heathcliff. And so Henley's like, screw this. He's lesser than me. He should be one of the servants. So now that Catherine isn't there, he basically has told Heathcliff, when Catherine comes back, you are a servant. You do not talk to her like you are her friend. You talk to her in your rightful place.
So rude. And so then... she comes back and she's like, where's Heathcliff? And so he comes out because Henley says, you may greet her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but he's not allowed to say anything to her. And so she's kind of like, well, aren't you happy to see me type of thing? And he
has to stay silent.
And then he just gets he's still bitter along with being upset at what Henley has told him to do. And that kind of even makes a bigger rift in their relationship. And so that part I thought they did.
Yeah, they did that part
pretty good.
Yeah. And then after this, Catherine keeps trying to talk to him and trying to like be kind with him.
Okay. So this is all when they're still kids. She
in the book.
She comes back and they're kids still. And then the parents,
Henley.
Yeah, it was, I thought the parents were alive when the Lintons came over for dinner. Maybe not.
I think this is what sucks with the movie not following the whole, like, them as kids.
It was hard to remember what exactly happened when.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think the parents were alive when they first met the Lintons, because they were, like, at that point, I feel like they were, like, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Because I think they get engaged at like 15, I almost feel like,
something like that. But so then they come over and Heathcliff's just pissed. He's like, I don't want these people here. And there ended up being some tiff, and he ended up throwing hot applesauce at Edgar. And Edgar's like sobbing, and Isabella, the sister, Edgar's sister, was like crying, and they're like, oh, Nellie, I think, said, you haven't even gotten hit. Why are you crying? And that was a pretty funny scene. But anyway, so then I think is when finally more dates happen between
Catherine and Edgar.
Yes.
And she is now fancy pants, and she's realized, oh, I'm, you know, an upper class. And she's like, thinks
high
she's
to do.
Yes. And making Heathcliff feel very in the place that Hindley wants him to feel.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a sad scene that happens both in the book and movie where she like comes to talk to him, or no, she comes to get something out of the kitchen or something, and he's in there doing his stuff. And or no, in the book, he just tells Nelly to tell her. He shows her the calendar. It's like, can you tell her that the X's are for the days that she spent with him and the dots are for the days that she spent with me? I like how the movie did that.
Where he like, told
where
her.
Where he's the one telling her, not having Nelly play the messenger. Because that happens a lot in the book. Nelly's always the go-between for the two.
Yeah.
But basically, he's been keeping track of how many days she's been with Edgar and how many days she's been with him. And it's not as often as he would like with him. And she's like, why do you keep track of that? Who cares about that?
You're so weird, basically. Yeah. And so, you know, that hurts his feelings more. And he's like, whatever. So then there's a scene where Hindley is super drunk. Oh, and he had a baby. Okay.
The book and movie are so different.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we're getting mixed up. So much for our, like, we're trying to make it easy for you guys, because I feel like Wuthering Heights isn't one that most people have read. So we're trying to help
you guys understand.
And we're probably confusing you way more.
I'm going to be honest. This book is long, and the movie was not nearly long enough. And I took my notes while watching the movie, but it's not like I could then take notes on everything that happened in between that we're missing. So I'm basically going off of what happened in the movie. And forgetting, well, not forgetting, because I keep remembering.
I kind of took my notes opposite, didn't I? Because I did mine after. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
So we should probably be following yours.
Okay.
Not mine. Because
okay, that sounds good. All right, so now, rewind. Hindley went out and got married and had a baby. And then his wife passed away during childbirth. So now he is single dad with a baby, and he's pissed that he is. Like, he basically,
he's taking his grief of losing his wife out on the world.
Yes. And Harriton, is that the kid's name? Mm-hmm. So he basically, Nelly, who is their housekeeper, he's given all, basically, like, here, you take care of the kid, to Nelly. And so there's a scene in the book where Hindley gets super drunk, and he's holding Hindley over the banister, basically. And he ends up dropping him. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was on purpose or accident.
Purpose.
It was on purpose.
Yeah.
So he drops the kid, but Heathcliff comes out and catches him. Sure enough, then he's pissed that he caught him, because he's like, oh my gosh, I just caught. Because he hates Hindley for making him feel low. And so he's a little pissed about that, but then he's like, okay, well, I save this kid, whatever. And so then Catherine has this like moment of, I don't even know what made her so angry, but then she hits Harriton, she hits Nelly, and then she hits Edgar.
She's just a spoiled brat.
Yeah. And she just is like going off and hitting people. Which did not happen in the movie. So the book just shows what a little brat she is. And the movie makes her seem almost like
an angel.
Yes. I mean, she has her moments
where she,
but she's definitely worse in the book.
Yeah.
And so
in the book, because the back of the book, I don't think I told you this when we were reading, it literally says doomed love.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is about right.
Yeah. And it's because like the relationship that you're rooting for is really like, she's not healthy in it. He's not healthy in it.
It's very red flag.
Edgar's not healthy.
No,
either.
It's all bad.
Yeah.
So then it goes to a scene that happened both in book and movie where Catherine comes in and tells Nelly, like in the kitchen, Nelly was working on something, and Catherine comes in and she's like, oh my gosh, guess what? Edgar just asked me to marry him. And I found it very interesting that in the book, She seemed kind of worried from the start. Like, what should I say? Like, is this the right thing? Whereas in the movie, she's like, so what should I say? Like, what I did, like, she seemed excited while questioning what she should say versus in the book, she was nervous, worried. Book,
Nellie was like, she came to me and you could tell something was up. Something was on her mind. But she also, in the book, she didn't want to tell Nellie. She kind of just sat around kind of like, doo-ka-doo, are you going to talk to me?
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, it was like, Nellie, I need you.
Yes. And so, little be known to Catherine that Heathcliff is in the kitchen too. And he's sitting there and listening. And Nellie's asking her, I think this pretty much happened, this first part, like it did in the
book. It's pretty good up until my part.
Yeah, she's like, well, what should I do? And Nellie's like, well, what does your heart tell you? Like, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, you know, I need to marry Edgar because he's like the right class. And like marrying Heathcliff would be a disgraceful. And so like that. And then in the movie, that's when Heathcliff gets up and leaves. He's like, OK. But then she says, but that's where my heart lies or something like that.
She says in the book, our souls are made the same. Oh. Our souls are made the same line, not in the movie.
Same line. Hold on.
All right. So the line reads, it would degrade me to marry Heathcliff now, so he shall never know how I love him. And that, not because he's handsome, Nelly, but because he's more myself than I am. Whatever our souls are made of, his and mine are the same. And Linton's is as different as a moonbeam from lightning or frost from fire.
So sweet.
Yeah, true love.
Yes, but Heathcliff had left after she said that it would be a disgrace.
Yeah.
So, but in the movie, she's like, yeah, I think Heathcliff, you know, heard that. And she says he heard up until this point. Whereas in the book, she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Heathcliff heard some of that. And Catherine's like, no, he didn't hear any of it. And like is convincing herself.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know how much he heard in the book.
Yep.
Which I found interesting.
I think it's to show her red flags.
Yeah. Oh, man. This girl is crazy. I'll tell you that. But anyways. Okay. Then in the movie, she runs out like screaming for Heathcliff. Like, where is he? You know, because she knows that he just heard that it would be a disgrace to marry him. And she's crying in the rain. And then
this is in the book, right?
It is in the book, but it's more magnified in the movie. I feel like she goes out there. She sends Joseph out there to like go find him.
That's true.
And she kind of is like worried for him. But in the movie, she runs out and is like sobbing in the rain. And so then it skips 3 years into the future and Heathcliff comes back.
Okay. So at this point in the book, this is when Nellie is like, okay, Mr. Lockwood, that's enough for the day. You need your rest. You're sick. You need to heal up. Maybe tomorrow, if you're up for it, we'll continue the story. And we take a little brief intermission and Lockwood's like, wow, no wonder Heathcliff is such a jerk. Like, I can't wait to find out what else happened. And so we get a little bit of life currently, not in the past, not told through two different characters.
It really reminded me of like the movie Definitely Maybe with Ryan Reynolds, where he's telling the story and comes in and out. It's like, what a cool way that would have been.
I was so excited. Allie watched the movie before she read the book, and which meant she watched it before me. And so she would be like, I'm watching it. And I was like, oh my gosh, how is it with Lockwood? She's like, huh?
I was like, the guy that was in it for two scenes.
I was like, dang it.
I wonder if any of the other movies or shows, the show, I would assume so, but I wonder if the other movie would have done it like that.
I don't know. I didn't want to watch a really old, old movie. Plus, I wanted to link.
Right. I'm glad we chose this one, but
I'm glad you're glad.
Well, because it was fun to see.
That's true.
Reef in it. All right. Okay. So then Nellie continues her story after a little bit. And so now Heathcliff comes back after 2-3 years that he's been gone.
But the movie.
Okay, yeah. Says what is up two. With this? The book says 3 years, but the movie says 2 years. How hard
such a big difference.
Is it? It is not a big difference, but it's the fact that it's such a small.
No, I wasn't talking about for us to talk about, but like oh, for the movie. Like, right. What?
Oh, yeah. It makes it's no such sense. A small difference, but one that's so easily to get easy to get right. Whatever. Okay. So now
well, you know why.
Why?
I bet you. It's funny because every time we've complained about this already, I've been 100%. This was so stupid. What I'm thinking is also stupid because it could have been easily fixed. If it were 3 years, because of how old he already is, he would have had to age a little bit more. Probably.
Yeah, that's probably what they were
he
doing.
He looks like he's in his like mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, this is probably from like 15 to 18.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, but freaking 1 year. Okay. All right. So in the book, Heathcliff first comes to Nelly and he says, can you please go get Catherine? Or Kathy, he calls her.
Yeah.
And when Kathy sees him,
she's... Oh, because at this point, too, she's been married.
She is married now.
She lives at the Grange.
She lives at the Grange. And so he went to the Grange, and Nelly is their housekeeper. And so he knocks on the door, and she's like, oh my gosh, Heathcliff, it's you! And so she says, or he says, to go get Catherine. And she goes, and she tries to get Catherine down without Edgar really noticing, but I think Edgar was like, well, who is it? Like,
well, except for this is the part where I also was mad at Nelly. I was like, Nelly, whose side are you playing?
I know,
because like she wanted to keep it a secret for I was gonna say Nelly, Catherine. Mm-hmm. But the second Catherine's not in the room, she looks at Edgar and goes, it's that Heathcliff.
Right.
Like, what?
She didn't want to lie to her master. And so, yeah. And so it was just odd.
This is also then the point in time where it is not explained that Heathcliff is now the owner of Wuthering Heights. So Wuthering Heights is his. When it was originally Henley's. In the book, Nelly only speculates. Nelly is like, well, I'm assuming this is what he did, but he never actually came out and told me. In the movie, he explains it all. He explains it like a freaking villain. Like, he was so drunk, it was gambling.
Yeah, he gambled or something. He was in huge debt, and so he's like, so I bought it off of him type of thing.
Yeah, and I didn't like that because the movie vilifies him so much more than the book does. The book, I think he's a dick too, but he's very, very misunderstood. And I think if he hadn't been treated how he was treated, he wouldn't have ended up that way. But basically they were like, this is your place. This is going to be your place. And he was like, cool, this is my place, but I'm also going to show you up.
Fair. Okay.
Poor Heathcliff.
I know.
Allie doesn't like Heathcliff.
I don't like Heathcliff at all.
I love Heathcliff so, so much.
All right.
It's so bad.
It is bad. So then Heathcliff, now here we go. Here's another reason I don't like him. He's like flirting with Isabella, who is Edgar's sister. And he's not really flirting.
In the book or movie? Because in the book,
I don't have. Okay, he's not flirting, but Isabella is like swooning over him, and he's just kind of been like, okay, yeah, sure. And then finally, Kathy is the one who basically sets them up.
I know that part's funny because she's like pissed about it.
But yeah,
she also like, fine, here. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Yes, which then results in them getting married. So yeah. Now,
and then she gets mad at him for it. And I'm like, dude,
you said it. Yeah.
He like, would not have married her. He did not want to marry her. And then you said it. So he was like, fine, I'll marry her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So then Kathy's all upset, right? Because Heathcliff and Isabella are married. And then Edgar gets mad at her too for being upset about this. And she basically says, like, I thought that everyone could hate each other, but no one could hate me, says Kathy from the book.
Oh, like, yeah. Right before she's really sick.
Huh? Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, this girl.
Yeah. I hate her.
So drama.
More than anyone else in this book. I'm almost like, Heathcliff, you didn't have to turn out this way because she's not crazy.
She's cray cray. All right. So then Kathy becomes like suicidal. She's so depressed.
In the book, she explains it as her heart's breaking because her two men in her life can't get along because Edgar has basically, did you say that Edgar flipped out already?
I said he was very upset.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to say flipped out, and then I was like, hold up. So Edgar's flipped out. Heathcliff's flipped out because he's Heathcliff. And basically she's just like, I can't take it, you guys. My heart's going to break. And because my heart's going to break, I'm going to die. And you're like, wow, overdramatic much.
Yes, basically.
But then guess what, guys? She does it.
She ends up dying. But before we get there, so Edgar was very, so Kathy's upset, or Kathy is very sick. And so Nellie is taking care of her. And then finally she comes out after like a couple days of taking care of her. And Edgar's like, what's going on? And she's like, Kathy's super sick. And Edgar gets so upset at Nellie for not telling him his wife is sick. Like, I thought that was so sweet. You didn't think that was sweet?
No.
He's like, why didn't you tell me my girl was sick? Because he's been ignoring
her. Edgar wasn't talking to her on purpose.
Well, they were upset with each other. They needed their time.
No.
But then he was like, oh my gosh, my wife is sick. Why wouldn't you tell me?
No, that made me mad. I was like, you can't get mad at her. You're the one who's been ignoring her. Nellie was just following your wishes. Nellie also thought that Catherine was being overdramatic and was like, no way, is she going to kill herself? And then she was like, she might.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So then, as Edgar runs in there to care for his loving wife, she basically says, screw you, I don't love you, to Edgar, and she like wants him to leave. And he's just like, that's great. And so then we hear about Isabella and Heathcliff. And in the book, it's so much more detailed. So Isabella writes a letter to the Grange.
Yeah.
And is saying, the first letter is for the Edgar and everybody saying, hello, you know, how are you guys doing? Blah, 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 blah. Because they have like disowned her for marrying Heathcliff. And then the second part of the letter was, she's like, this is for you only, Nellie. And it's sharing all these horrible things that Heathcliff is doing to her. Mm-hmm. And not even just Heathcliff, just the Wuthering Heights in general. Like,
the whole
Joseph, their servant, and
Henley, Harrington.
Yeah. It's just everybody over there is horrible. Yeah. So we don't really see that or hear. Yeah. See that. But we do eventually, Nellie goes over there. And we see that, like, Isabella's, like, beat up, which didn't sound like it happened in the book.
No.
It was more like a lot of
emotional abuse
rather than
physical. I think it's implied a few times, but I don't think it was obvious. It was obvious that she was traumatized from it.
Yeah.
But the movie made it look like he had just been wailing on her.
Right. Yeah. And so when Nellie visits, in the book, she stays downstairs for a while. Isabella stays downstairs for a while and kind of stands up for herself to Heathcliff. Whereas in the movie, right away, he takes Isabella upstairs and is like, go away. Okay, so another thing is, I feel like Joseph, who we haven't even mentioned really at all.
No.
Who is the servant, butler guy.
But it's because he's barely in the movie.
He's barely in the movie. He was horrible in the book.
Oh, he's a dick.
And in the movie, he just kind of was like,
he was there for 2 seconds. Yeah.
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 So,
but also, guys, let me find you.
Yeah.
All right. So Joseph is basically the butler I take it. Again, it's like set in old times, so I'm just assuming that's what he is.
That's what it seems like.
He's like another house person helper thing. Reading his speech is horrible. It's like you can tell he's not supposed to be someone who's well educated, because his how they spell things is horrible, guys. I'm going to read you just little, I'll read like one sentence because I'm not even going to be able to read one sentence. To maester, no, but just buried, and Sabbath, not ord, and to sand, ut gospel, still eat your lugs, and ye dar be liken. What the hell did I just read?
Somehow the audiobook understands what? Thank God.
It takes me, I have to sit there, and I'm pretty sure it's the master. I think nothing, just buried, and Sabbath isn't over yet. And the something out gospel still in your lungs, and you dare be liking it.
No idea.
A lot of his stuff I have to basically just guess. Some of his stuff is really easy to understand, even though it's things like that. Like, yeah, just kidding. The next one isn't even worse than the one I just read. But there's certain ones where it's like something easy, like, no, you can't go outside, it's raining, or something like that. But then you give me two paragraphs long of that. Oh my gosh, sir, can you not?
But anyways, okay, so then we are all of a sudden, Kathy is still in her depressed, sick state.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has a baby.
Yeah, they don't explain that in the movie.
Or
at
the
all.
Book. Really.
Or the book. The book is literally a sentence where if you do not catch it, you miss it. Let me see if I can find that sentence for you. All right, so if you read this too quick, or if you're like Allie and you just listen to the book and don't pay attention to certain parts like I would, you'll miss this. It literally is such a brief thing, and it doesn't flat out say Catherine is pregnant. It says, ah, I thought myself she might recover, so waited on as she was, and there was double cause to desire it, for on her existence depended that of another. We cherish the hope that in a little while, Mr. Linton's heart would be gladdened and his land secured from a stranger's gripe by the birth of an heir.
So that's her whole pregnancy, you guys. So
in the book.
In the book. And the, in movie, the movie, basically. I mean, they didn't say anything, but all of a sudden she's having a baby.
Also, mind you, as I've been telling Allie this whole time before we read this book, that this was a love story. And this happened in chapter 13. And there are 34 chapters because after she has her baby, what happens?
She dies. So ta-da! Great love story. But now they named her baby Catherine.
I really got a text from Allie going, what the fuck? I thought you said this was a love triangle.
I did not use that language.
WTF.
But anyways, so, guys, I'm Captain America.
No one gets
your
that.
Language. Not from the meme, from the movie. Language. Anyways, so Kathy dies. They name the baby Kathy or Catherine. So right then and there, my brain's like, okay.
Yeah, this is when it gets really confusing, because next thing you know, everyone starts having kids and they're all naming each other after each other.
Yes. And so, and then in the movie, not that it matters, because almost like none of this happens in the movie. Oh, no, it does. This part does. Sort of. But this ish. Actress who plays Catherine also plays
her daughter.
Daughter Catherine. So it's like,
yeah, that's
it's like,
the worst. That was so stupid. Once I realized that, I was like,
Well, I mean, it's described as looking like her. No, it wasn't.
No.
It was not. It was described she looked more like
Edgar.
Edgar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They just didn't want to cast another.
Right. Too much money. So then, okay, a lot of stuff happens when Catherine mm-hmm. was a baby.
So at this point in the book, Isabella basically writes to, I can't remember if it's Nellie or the whole, oh no, it is to Nellie, because she's like, Edgar's not going to be able to take this pain with him just losing his wife, but I need you to know, I am with child and I do not want it to be raised by Heathcliff at all. So I am leaving. I'm going to go find a place far, far away from here. I don't want anyone to know where I am. This is for the best so that Heathcliff can't find us. In the movie, she just disappears.
Yeah.
She's just not there. And you don't find out that she's pregnant. You don't find out anything. And the next time you see Heathcliff, randomly, guess what? He's got a child, Linton, who's like 14 already.
Yes, Linton. She named their yeah. son her maiden former name. Yeah. It'd be like me naming my kid Smith.
Come on, although Smith. Smith would be a cute name for a boy.
Oh my gosh.
Smith? Come here, Smith.
Come here, Smith.
Smithy.
Smithy. Okay. Anyway.
Better than Linton.
I mean, I guess I could hear Linton being a name.
Yeah. But my thing is what was her thought in that? Like, the kid at some point, even if she hadn't died, would probably want to end up meeting its father. And I feel like knowing that it was named after the guy who I hate.
Right.
Would make me hate this kid a little bit. Like, yeah.
So odd.
So now, at this point in the story, our love triangle shifts from Catherine, who just died, to little Kathy.
Gosh.
So we now are seeing the children grow up. We are seeing...
Wait, so first we have to say that Isabella died.
Oh, yes.
So
yes,
Isabella
yes.
died, and then...
I think I like touched on it briefly.
Yes, and then Edgar went and got his nephew.
Yes.
And then Heathcliff like found out about it and was like, okay, that's my kid though. So bring him to me.
So I guess.
And
what?
So.
And Catherine at this point, little Catherine, has already gotten attached to him. And is like, no, I don't want you to leave. Yes. It was so nice having my cousin here.
Yes. And so then, but now he's over with Heathcliff.
Oh, this is also in the book. Before this happens, little Kathy has been sneaking over to Wuthering Heights without her dad knowing mm-hmm. and started having little play dates with Hareton, her other cousin from her mother's brother. This is when this gets really confusing, guys, with like the lineage and who's who and what's what. But she's been having play dates with Hareton, and it's essentially Catherine and Heathcliff. It's the Hareton hasn't, although Hareton is not Edgar. Henley, I keep wanting to call her brother Edgar, Henley's kid, so he's not technically gypsy or anything like Heathcliff, just because of how he's been raised, how he's been in such a dark house and how the house is depressing. He's grown up not the best suitor for her, but they start to kindle a friendship, kindle a relationship. But then Nellie. I love Nellie, but I also dislike her because I feel like she causes a lot of the strife in the book.
Definitely.
But Nellie tells little Kathy that she is Hareton's cousin, and she freaks out. She's like, no, I cannot be. So in the movie, Nellie gets there, is telling her to come home, and is like, you shouldn't be playing with him. Don't get feelings for him. That's your cousin. And she just goes, oh, how is he?
Yeah.
And doesn't freak out like she does in the book.
Yeah. So she's like almost like offended that that would be her cousin type of thing.
And because then, how could someone so lowly be my cousin?
Right.
He doesn't even know how to read.
Exactly. So now Linton is now over there with yes. Heathcliff and Hareton and all that.
Yes. And he's so, the only like well-to-do. And somehow he kind of keeps that, even though he also kind of becomes a dick.
Right. And so I don't really remember in the movie their love story really happening.
In the movie it jumps so much and there's not really,
so they're supposed to, so yes, they're cousins and she's fallen in love with her cousin.
I was gonna say she's falling in love with both of her cousins. Yes. And apparently I remember very clearly in English class when I read this book talking about how that was a common thing and that it wasn't unheard of. And all I could think of is that's disgusting. Which probably means our ancestors forever ago.
We're probably all related somehow.
Yeah, probably. Mm. Gross.
Interesting. Ew. So in the book, they're like writing letters back and forth, even though mm-hmm. her father has...
Because her dad has gotten really sick. And so he has told her not to talk to him because he's now Heathcliff's problem and he hates Heathcliff.
Well, he doesn't hate Heathcliff. Heathcliff hates him, what he says.
Yeah.
But...
Heathcliff is a bad man.
Yes. And so we don't ever really see all these love letters and everything like that. But then one day, Catherine's just so upset. She's like, what will I do if you or my dad die? I'm going to be so sad. And I freaking love Nellie's response. She's like, no one knows. You might die before we do. what a comfort that is.
Oh, you're sad this might happen, but guess what? This might.
Yes. Don't worry. You could die first.
But also, how has Nellie survived?
That's what I was wondering. Nellie and Joseph, they're just oh my gosh. But anyways, so then now it's to the point where little Kathy keeps sneaking over. And then finally she goes over, and this time Linton is terrified.
Is he both of those things?
I think so. But okay. It's mainly sick. That's what gets her to stay.
I also got that he's freaking out. He's oh my gosh, Heathcliff is coming. He's coming. Unless we're thinking of a different time.
Yeah. I think the book never says it out loud. Says it out loud. The book never states this. Linton is getting sick. And it's a degenerative thing. So I almost think it's leukemia, pneumonia, something like that. So this is the start of it. And then on top of that is he's getting paranoid about Heathcliff.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, he's freaking out saying Heathcliff's coming. He's coming. And Kathy's just okay. And he's sobbing all over her. And finally Heathcliff comes and captures Kathy. And then... what happens?
He forces her to marry him.
That's right. That happened. Did it go that quick in the book? Then and there.
He's then and there. He says, you're going to marry him tomorrow.
Yeah. And she's like, can I please go home? My dad is dying. Blah, 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 blah.
Let me just be with my dad until he dies and then I'll come and marry him. I want to marry Linton, so you're not forcing me into anything.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it has to be tomorrow.
Yeah. But in the movie, didn't he just keep her there?
He kept her there.
Right as they signed it, he locked her away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas she went home for a little bit.
Yeah, she did.
And I was like, okay.
Got to be with her dad before he died.
Yeah. But then Heathcliff, in the book, once dad dies and everything like that, he gets Kathy. They get married.
Heathcliff?
Well, Heathcliff gets Kathy.
And then marries her dad him dies, to Linton. Linton. He doesn't marry Kathy.
No, he does not. And he kind of just smacks her around.
Yeah.
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 But then there's Linton, who he's like, she deserves to get hit because she was mean to me.
Yeah.
I'm just like.
Well, also, what? Too, because he starts to see her be kind to Harriton.
He's super being jealous. Kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she's still kind of butthurt over the fact that they're cousins. But now that she lives in this place and has no friends, she's like, oh, you might be a friendly person. It's nice with Linton, but Linton's so scared and so sick. There's not much he can do. So I need another friend.
That's when Nellie's story ends. And so now in the book, we are back to Lockwood being like, oh, wow. So we're up to date. That's as much as Nellie knows. And then he goes... over to see them.
Yeah.
Catherine was a brat to Harriton, who's trying to learn how to read because he sees that Kathy likes to read, and then she's just sitting there making fun of him because he can't read.
Yep.
And so he throws her book into the fire, and then she gets all pissed off, and I'm okay.
it's because she's been in that house for so long that everyone's rubbing off on her.
Then Lockwood goes away for 6 months and he comes back. And
everything has changed.
Yes. And now
Heathcliff Linton has died.
Oh, Heathcliff died and Linton died. And now Kathy and Harrington are married. In love. Are they married or are they just in love?
They're not yet married.
Not yet
married. They're engaged.
Yes. And it's like none of this happened in the movie.
It happens, but it happens so quickly that like if you blink you miss it.
Yeah. Basically, like
they don't do it well.
No, basically the movie shows that Heathcliff died. That was pretty much the main
it also
thing.
Shows that she marries Linton.
Okay.
And that Linton dies because that's how Heathcliff then owns everything that wasn't his.
Which is why he wanted to get married.
Yep. Yep. Because essentially, since he couldn't have Catherine, he wanted everything that they said he couldn't have. So he owned Wuthering Heights already. He wanted to own Thrushcross Grange. And in marrying his kid to little Kathy, that made that happen.
Yeah. I don't know. That's pretty much the end right there.
Yes. But my favorite part is that Harrington is basically Heathcliff 2.0, but he gets his story with his Kathy. And so in that, he turns his life around and becomes a good person. And that's why I love Heathcliff, because of that. The fact that if he was able to get that love, he wouldn't have been who he was. And then he's just so petty, because in the book, they don't outright tell you his plan about owning all the land. It's just subtle little things like, oh, and then he had the deed. And then he owns Wuthering Heights. And then it's like, oh, I see what you're doing here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also get really sad because on his gravestone, because they don't know when he was born because he was a gypsy. Mm. So they only put his death date.
Sad.
Yeah. So then I'm like, what did they do when he was a kid? Did they celebrate a birthday? Did they just not? Like,
maybe they celebrated the day that they brought him home.
Oh, I hope.
I hope.
I also put a note and it said this felt like it didn't have a coherent plot. And it feels like they jump around so much. I was confused. How'd you like watching it first?
We want to do that before the cast?
Yeah, might okay. as well. Well, how'd you like doing it, watching it first?
Watching it first versus reading it?
Yeah.
It wasn't too confusing. Mm. I mean, I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
There were certain things I was like, okay, that's kind of odd. Like the... She's just like dying when they brought him to the Lintons or whatever. But overall, it wasn't too bad. It wasn't too confusing.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Because I've read the book 4 or 5 times.
I feel like that's how it is, though. Like with us and Snape's memory.
Yeah.
We were like, that must have been so confusing. I bet it was like,
oh, that's true.
Super obvious. And everybody's like, no, I understood it.
That's true.
But so I wonder if it's just like when you know all this detail and you're like, what about this? This is so important.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I don't know. Oh. It wasn't too bad. All right. So we got some casting. So we have 23 people who are in this movie. That's a whole lot different than the 200
Harry Potter
something.
Yeah. We're in a whole new boat, guys.
Yes. So we're going to do them pretty quick since we don't have 7 or 8 films to sprinkle through. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet Binoche. Thank you. Was Kathy and little Kathy.
I like her enough.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
What works. Do you think?
I thought she was good. Yeah. I really have no casting issues at all.
Well, that's good for you.
Okay. I'll just go. You can answer.
Yep.
So my answer is they're good for all of them. So here we go. Rafe as Heathcliff.
Fucking great. Allie made a good note. Do you remember what your note was?
That he was super sexy when he was like
dirty. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, when he was like the right when they at the very beginning when he's like kind of like
a little dirty.
Dirty and look at you. I'm trying to find the right word.
Grungy?
Yes, thank you. I don't know. I thought he looked really nice.
Yeah, I think he looks really good in this movie.
Yeah, which I was shocking. I mean, going from Voldemort to that. But what was my other note?
How he was a villain in the last one.
Oh, yeah.
Because
it was Voldemort, and now he's a villain in the... Is that not what you were going to say?
All right. So Allie and I, we go on weekly walks, right, on Mondays. And just this last week, we were talking about it. And she was like, I think it's really cool because we just saw him as a villain because he didn't know how to love. And now he's a villain because he loves too much.
There you go. That's what I said.
Because he's sexy.
Oh, no. Man.
Okay.
Anyways. Okay. Nellie was played by Janet McTeer.
I wish they wrote this part properly. I wish she was the one actually telling the story, because the whole entire time this Emily Bronte character is freaking narrating the story when it should have not been. So I wish that they had her narrating.
I know. Why cast another person when it could have just been Nellie?
Yeah, I don't know. Makes no sense.
That was weird. Edgar Linton, Simon Shepherd.
Okay, I have problems with him.
Okay.
I didn't like his face. I didn't like him. He didn't seem like the perfect juxtaposition for Rafe as Heathcliff. Like, I wanted, like, I don't know how else to explain it.
It, like, Team Edward, Team Jacob, like, you don't know who you want type of thing.
Yes, okay. Exactly. And honestly, when I was just looking up actors, I typed in blonde actors, and the first one that popped up is someone from today's day and age, and I was like, that would have been perfect, but he wasn't born then.
Yes.
I'll tell you who that was. Austin Butler, who plays Elvis. He's typically blonde. And I was like, he would have been good. But who I came up with is Mark Paul. Oh, God. Sorry, everyone who's listening, probably. Mark Paul Gosselaar, a.k.a. Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He's in one of my favorite Christmas movies. And I didn't realize it was him until I was, like, looking up actors. I was like, what?
I love it.
He's so good.
Yeah. I was scrolling and I saw his face and I was like, he, like, teenage him.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That's who Edgar should have been.
That would have been good. Because
mm-hmm.
that would have been right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jeremy Northam played Hindley Earnshaw. I mean, he was a jerk.
Do you realize that this whole podcast we've been calling him Henley?
Well, it's spelled Hindley.
It is Hindley.
It is.
The second you said it, I was like, oh, no.
Whoops.
Redo.
Let's redo this whole thing. No. Sorry, guys. Yeah, y'all been yelling at us.
Our bad.
The three of you who've actually read this book.
They're like, Brie, this is your favorite. You can't remember crap. You don't know the brother's name.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I think he was fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Okay, Jason Riddington. Riddington. That's not even a hard last name. I can't say anything. It's because I'm not zoomed in again, you guys. There we go. My blind eyes. Oh my gosh. That's so much better. Okay. Played Harriton Earnshaw.
Yeah, I liked him.
He's grungy. He's good.
He almost looked like a young Heathcliff, a young Rafe, too,
mm-hmm.
which I liked because, like I said, it's that he's Heathcliff 2.0.
Yep. Robert Demiger played Joseph. I mean, he was hardly in it.
Again, writers, they should have wrote him in it.
Yeah. Okay, Jonathan Firth is Linton Heathcliff.
He was fine.
Okay. All right. And then we got Paul Jeffrey played Mr. Lockwood.
I think he did good. again, writers, why the hell didn't you keep him in longer?
I know. He was pretty funny. He was the...
Yeah, he was super funny. Really good. I wish we saw him more.
Yep. Emily Bronte, who was Sinead O'Connor.
I wish she wasn't in the movie.
She had no need.
She was fine for what she was, but it just... I wanted to double check and make sure that I'm not crazy. Yeah. The book starts with Lockwood getting to the house. I don't get why they have Emily Bronte finding this house. It makes no sense. Yeah, no, it makes no sense. I don't get why they put her in it. It drives me insane.
She's so angry right now, you guys.
I'm very angry. I can't. Oh my gosh, it makes no sense. Just have Nelly freaking narrate the whole movie.
You could have saved a whole bunch of money. But anyways, that was it.
Book or movie?
What do you prefer, Brie?
I think we know what I prefer.
So I think our experiment worked. I've been waiting to tell you on camera, or on camera, on
no!
microphone.
Yes. You liked that movie?
I wouldn't say like I wouldn't be like, I want to go like you with the book. You're like, I really want to reread this book. I wouldn't go out to watch it again. But if I was handed both of them, like you with the first Harry Potter, yeah, which would you choose? I would watch the movie again over the read the book.
This whole time I've been talking shit about it.
I thought you were on my side. Well, that's because I wanted a genuine reaction on tape when I said it.
I can't believe it. Oh, I thought I was just lazy.
Well, that's why it worked with me with Harry Potter. So I don't know if it was our little experiment, or if it was because it was a book written in the 1800s.
I know you like reading the book first, but we're gonna have to do it again.
Okay, we'll try again. Oh. Oh my gosh.
Okay, well then I'm gonna make it very clear for everyone. I chose the book.
Yes.
I almost said I chose the movie. Oh, I really thought.
She's like crying right now. She's so mad at me.
I'm so shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was like, no way. I've never been that shocked. It's almost like I'm like laughing so hard I'm crying, but I'm not laughing.
You are laughing.
Now I am.
Oh my gosh. That was worth, like, I really almost told you like weeks ago or whenever we finished it a week ago. But I was like, no, that's going to be really funny to watch.
It's an Amber Heard thing.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we'll retry our experiment.
Oh my goodness.
We'll let you know every time.
Yeah, we will.
But anyways.
That was hilarious. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. So that was for this week. And then but now we get to do some...
It's about to be spooky season.
Yes. Next week, October. Oh my gosh. How is it October already?
I really, for a second, thought we were physically almost in October. And I was like, what? No, we aren't.
I'm trying to make the illusion.
All right.
It's almost October. What?
No.
Yeah, we're recording this like second week of August right now. So,
mm-hmm.
But... We are doing Stephen King all month of October.
Mm-hmm. He is one of my favorite authors.
I've never read Stephen King until we just started, obviously. I've only ever apparently read Harry Potter and Hunger Games. And
maybe... I almost said Twilight, but you haven't even read Twilight.
No, I haven't read Twilight. A handful of other books, but that's it. But anyways, it's actually kind of fun because I'm reading the second one that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
How much similarities he has in his writing. Mm-hmm. I've never read a book that are different, like not like Harry Potter, but mm-hmm. like two different stories from the same author.
Well, my favorite thing about Stephen King is, like I told you, everything in his world is connected.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into this more in the next episode, but everything's connected while it's also not. And that's one of my favorite things. I love having been the reader of a lot of his other books, being like, oh my gosh, this is from this book, or oh my gosh,
yeah,
this is that.
Yeah. So it's been fun. So I hope we can do his books justice with our
silly podcast.
But yeah, so tune in.
Yeah.
Some spooky spooky stuff.
We didn't even say what's next when
we just said Stephen King. Oh my gosh.
Next book we're doing, guys, is Misery.
Misery. Oh my gosh.
I'm super excited about.
Yeah. I'm excited to tell you guys about it.
I'm excited to record that one for sure.
Me too.
I'm ready.
That'll be fun.
I'm ready to watch it.
I know. All right, you guys. So that was that.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
You're surprising me more and more every day with our numbers.
You know, we've only released two, but we watch those numbers all the time. We're like, oh my gosh, people are listening. Watch it by now. This is what, episode 9?
We're going to drop. Like,
we're going to drop. Have no one else. Withering Heights, who cares?
Gross. I never want to read that.
But anyway, so if you stuck with us.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yes. And we will.
Plus, think of it this way. We are reading the book for you. So if you're one of those people who are like, oh, Wuthering Heights is a classic, but I don't want to read an old book. That's okay. We just gave you the Cliff Notes version of it, but very poorly.
Yeah. So if you're like trying to listen to this because you have to read it for school.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's dumb.
No.
We're not going to help you with that.
Do it, but don't come after us if you fail.
Yeah.
Not our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaters never prosper.
Or maybe write a paper about how Heathcliff, Catherine, and Edgar are essentially Hareton, little Kathy, and Linton.
But you got to read the book to figure that out.
Good luck.
All right, you guys. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
And if you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed and gave us 5 beautiful stars.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript and Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21.
Shout outs to Ashley McGee for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And our one and only Brie for our editing.
Good job.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.